Thank you, ladies. Beautiful song there. And certainly, that's the choice we all ought to make, to choose Christ and to choose Him. Well, let's take our Bibles there. We're going to continue in our series on eschatology. And let's go for the first verse. We'll be in Isaiah 45. So while you're turning over there to Isaiah 45, we'll review where we're doing. We are looking right now at what will happen during what's called the millennium, that time when the Lord Jesus rules and reigns here upon the earth. And we're looking at some of the characteristics that are involved in that. Now, that follows a period of tribulation. There'll be 7 years of trouble and judgment that God will bring upon the earth, culminating at the end of Satan's rule and rebellion and the Antichrist being cast there into the lake of fire and Satan being bound for 1,000 years and all of those troubles being put away behind us and all that judgment gone. The righteous shall inherit the kingdom and live there in that place for 1,000 years where the Lord shall rule and reign. We've been looking at some of the various benefits and blessings that come upon us because of this reign of Christ. We're looking at the various blessings that come to us, and these blessings are an encouragement to us. They give us strength to keep going, because sometimes we do get discouraged in the midst of the battle, and we wonder if there's an end to this. And yes, there is. And the Lord has promised wonderful things. And so today we'll finish up these blessings that are there in the millennial period. The next of these is there will be a unified worship. During the millennial time, there will be a worship which is unified. There won't be separate churches and separate divisions and all of these things. There will be unified worship. In Isaiah 45, verse 23, it says, "I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth. In righteousness shall not and righteous..." Let me read that again. I'm having a horrible time speaking today. "I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear." So there will be a time when the Lord Jesus rules and reigns, when everyone will be gathering together and worshiping the Lord. We will all be bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus. You won't have all the false cults and false churches and fakes and crooks and shams and all those things. That will all be gone. There won't be these various false religions in that day. Everyone will serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 66... and verse 17, in Isaiah 66 and verse 17, it says, "They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and in the abomination of the house, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord." Now, during that time, we know that there will still be children who are born during the millennium. Some of these children will serve the Lord, as we saw last time about the length of life and longevity. Those who serve the Lord and know Him and are saved, they'll live the millennium, it seems. But those who don't, they will die at 100 years. The Lord gives them 100 years to make up their mind, 100 years to choose. And if they have not chosen, they will be cut off and put away from the nation, and they will be removed from them. And so here we see that these who are ungodly will be called out of this millennial period, and the righteous will be those who are in the majority, who rule and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there'll be united worship of the Lord. All the world will be worshiping our God and our Christ. Then there's also a manifest presence of God, a special presence of God. In Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel 37, and beginning at verse number 24, we read of this wonderful presence of God during that day. Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse number 24. It says, "And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes to do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set them in, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so there we are told that the very tabernacle, the very tent, the very dwelling of God will be with His people. And so there will be a special manifest presence of God in that day. Unlike the sense that we have now, sometimes we feel as if the heavens are shut and prayers may not reach beyond the ceiling. You know, sometimes we feel that way. Now, of course, you know how feelings are. They're up, they're down, you know. So don't worry about feelings. Just keep trusting the Lord, believing in Him. But sometimes we have that sense. But in that day, we will know the very presence of God. Jesus Himself will sit upon that throne. He will sit upon the very throne of David. And in David's position will rule and reign. And the people of the earth will come and worship Him every year and see Him visibly. There will be the very presence of God, His tabernacle, dwelling amongst men. And so it'll be a blessed time when the presence of God is with His people. Now, in the book of Zechariah, it refers to that as well. In Zechariah chapter 2, that's over past the book of Daniel. So Ezekiel, Daniel, and then almost to the end, Zechariah. Before you get to the book of Malachi, Zechariah. And chapter 2, in verses 2 to 5, and then down verse 10 to 13. In Zechariah chapter 2, it says, "Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said to me, To measure Jerusalem, and see what the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And he said to him, Run, speak to the young man, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited, as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." Then down to verse 10, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I am come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. I will, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah and his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." And so there we see that the Lord is going to be living and ruling there in Jerusalem, and in a very special sense will be known to the people of the world. Now, as Christians today, we have the down payment of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, the earnest of the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God within us, and at times we sense His presence. But there it will be like during the days when the Lord was here upon the earth, or in the days of the Garden of Eden when God came down and walked and talked with the children of men, that we will be able to know God's presence in a very special and wonderful way. And those of us who are Christians long sometimes for that presence of God, to sense Him close to us and know Him. In that day, there will be the very manifest presence of God. And so there will be unified worship, the manifest presence of God. There will also be the fullness of the Spirit. All of us who are subject to Christ will experience that fullness of Spirit, which really deals with the matter of His presence and His enablement in that day. Back in the book of Isaiah there, we'll just look at a couple passages in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32 and verse number 13. Isaiah 32 and verse number 13. Isaiah 32, verse 13. "Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and the towers shall be for dens forever, and the joy of the wild asses a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured out upon us as from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest." And so in that day, yes, right now, Jerusalem sort of fits more with verses 13 and 14 than it does with verse 15. But there will be a day when the Spirit of God will be poured out in a manifest and special way. And when that occurs, all of these things, these physical things, are going to be changed. And the earth will become a fruitful field. The fruitful field that is there now will be so so green that it will be thought of as just a forest, as just a wonderful, blessed time. And so God is going to bring great presence of the Spirit upon the world at that time. In Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 3. In Isaiah 44 and verse number 3. Isaiah 44 and verse number 3 says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thy offspring." God's Spirit is going to be specially manifest upon the people of God in that day. So not only will we have the physical presence of Christ ruling and reigning, and the presence, the tabernacle of God with men in Jerusalem, but we will have the full, complete awareness of the Spirit of God taking control and ruling over us. In Isaiah 59 and verse number 19, Isaiah 59 and verse 19, it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have poured out, which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." And so God's going to put His words into the very mouths of the people. They will know His word. They will know His will. They will know His direction. We will have the manifest presence of God in that day. So there's going to be unified worship. There's going to be a manifest presence of God. There's going to be a fullness of the Spirit. These are blessings that we will know during the millennium. There is one further thing that needs to be discussed, and that is the perpetuity of this millennial state. Now, some will argue that there can't be a millennium because, as we have read in some of these verses, it talks about that this blessing is an everlasting blessing. He uses that when it talks about the sure mercies of David in Ezekiel chapter 36. This is an everlasting blessing. Well, if this is an everlasting blessing, it can't be a millennium, because if it's a millennium, it's 1,000 years. So it can't be a millennium. There just can't be one. Well, the problem with that is God says there's one. And so when God says there's something, we just have to figure out how it works out and try to believe what the Scripture says. Now, it is true that during the millennium period, the Lord Jesus will be ruling and reigning. And so there'll be much blessing that will be in the world because the Lord is ruling and reigning. And following the millennium, we come into the period in which we call the eternal state, where the Lord Jesus continues to rule and reign over all. Now, won't the same kinds of things that are found on the earth when the Lord rules and reigns be found in the eternal state? Will there cease to be joy because we go from the millennium to the eternal state? Will there cease to be peace when we go into the eternal state? Will there not be righteousness in the eternal state? Certainly we would see that these characteristics that would be found when the Lord Jesus rules and reigns in the millennium will also be found when the Lord Jesus rules and reigns in the eternal state. So this is a continuation of these things. So yes, there is a millennium. Then there is a little rebellion, which the book of Revelation talks about. And then there is an eternal state. And many of these characteristics that refer to the millennium do as well refer to the time of the eternal state. And so we want to think and look at some of these characteristics here Let's look at a couple of these. In Isaiah 51, Isaiah 51, verses 6 to 8. Here it says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell in therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." Now there he tells us that this blessings that Christians are promised, and that the Old Testament saints are promised, these blessings are eternal. They are unending. But he says of the earth, it waxes old. It will be destroyed. It will be changed and made over. And so you see that the Old Testament prophets even agree with what we find there in the book of Revelation. Over in Isaiah 55 and verse number 3. Isaiah 55 verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Then down in verse 13, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Now there it tells us that during that millennial time, yes, there will come up these fir trees. Then there will come up these myrtle trees. And they will be there for an everlasting sign, which means that they continue on into that new heaven and that new earth. That there will be, in that time, these trees that will be upon the land. For he tells us these are for an everlasting sign. They are there to remind us of the blessings that God has given. These things will forever lay upon the earth and point upward to our Savior to remind us of what he has done. So, let's see. There is the perpetuity of this thing. Let's go over to chapter 60 and verse number 19. Chapter 60 and verse number 19. In chapter 60, verse 19, it says, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be for thee an everlasting light, and thy glory, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw herself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the right and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." And so here you see that while during the millennium period there is a great increase in light, it says the light of the day is seven times, and the light of the moon is like the light of the sun. All right, so they're a very bright situation. He says during the time of the eternal state, there's going to be a change. There won't be a sun and a moon any longer. These things will be removed because God will be our light. He will provide that light for us in that day. And then in Isaiah 61 in verse 8, it says, "For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them." And so these mercies and these blessings that are promised to the people in the millennium are an everlasting covenant. They will carry forth into the future and into eternity. Yes, there is a physical manifestation of them upon the earth, but there will be an eternal manifestation of them in heaven forever. And that's where Revelation begins to speak about. In Revelation 20, which we read, it talks about verses 7 to 10. It talks about Satan being released for a little season. And when he is released at the end of the millennium for a little season, he goes out into the world and he tempts the nations of the world, and he draws these wicked people together around the holy city in one great last attempt to try to defeat God and to rule and reign and be created as God himself. Satan's goal is to have people worship him, to be an alternative to God, to exalt himself above the Most High. This has been his goal and it remains his goal. Now, during the millennium, we remind you that there will be people who are born in that millennium. They will still have that old Adamic nature that you and I were born with. They will still have that same old sinful nature. They are given opportunity to trust the Lord. And if they don't, then at 100 they pass away. But if they have trusted the Lord, they'll probably live all through the millennium. But those who pass away 100 years old, that's plenty old enough to have children. So there will be lots of children that are born. And there will be lots of ungodly who will be living during that time. Now there will certainly be many righteous, but there will also be ungodly. And at the end of this period, those ungodly are tempted by Satan and are drawn away and bring an attack upon God. How foolish is the heart of man? You would think that they would see the very presence of God and they would turn to Him. Sometimes folks will say, well, you know, if God would just send a little miracle down, if people could just see, they would. Well, in that day, people will see. The Lord Jesus Himself ruling and reigning, it still will be not enough for some. They still will reject the message. They still will turn away from God. Even when the Spirit of God is teaching them and the knowledge of God is as the, covers the earth, like the oceans cover the earth, still it won't be enough. They're going to turn away from the Lord and reject Him. And so they turn away. Now what happens? God destroys them. Satan is cast into the lake of fire. And we go into Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15, which is the great white throne judgment, in which all of the wicked are brought before God. The dead, small and great, stand before Him. And God opens the books. And out of the people are judged out of those books according to their works. And there they are looked for in the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, it says, was cast into the lake of fire. And so at that point, there is the ending of all of the ungodly. There is the ending of all the wicked. All of those who are sinners are put away. And now Satan is gone. The ungodly are gone. Now let's notice what happens in chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. See, there's coming a change. As we go into the millennial, as we go into the eternal state, that first heaven and that first earth, this thing that we know, is put away. Sin is put away, and the curse is put away, and thorns and thistles are put away. All these things are removed. No more will there be the judgment of God upon the creation. For God will make a new creation wherein the righteous will dwell. And so those blessings that they knew during the millennium, those blessings that we have looked at, and here's the whole list. Peace, joy, holiness, glory, comfort, justice, full knowledge, instruction, removal of the curse, sickness removed, healing of the deformed, protection, freedom from oppression, no immaturity, reproduction by the living people, labor, economic prosperity, increase of light, unified language, unified worship, the manifest presence of God, the fullness of the Spirit. Most of these things will continue on. Now, the reproduction of the living people will not. But all these other things will continue forward. These are blessings we will know in heaven. And so, you see, the argument that says there can't be a millennium because these are everlasting blessings doesn't take into account what the Scripture says. God has laid out the plan for us very plainly. Satan will rebel. The people of the world will rebel during that millennial reign. Then God will judge the world and bring an end to all wickedness and the end to this new heaven, this earth, and create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And we will live in that place for eternity. And so this brings us to the end of the millennium. We have studied and looked now at the tribulation. The rapture, the tribulation, the second coming of the Lord, all the judgments that are involved in that. Now the millennium. These are the blessings and all of the goodnesses that are coming during that time. Next, we go into heaven, into the eternal state. And we will look at that and begin on that next week. There's a lot to study in that and a lot of very scattered passages throughout the Bible. And some are difficult to study because it is hard to determine. Is this speaking of the millennium? Is this speaking of the eternal state? And, you know, some of these characteristics are difficult. But we already have a good start. We know some things that are going to be there in heaven. Peace, joy, holiness, glory, comfort, justice, knowledge, no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death. Well, that alone makes it sound like a pretty good place, huh? And that's just the beginning of what the Scripture reveals of these things of heaven. These are the things that await those that know Him. If you don't know Him, then these things don't await you. For you, there is only the judgment. There is only that fearful waiting for that time when you shall be found wanting, when in the book of life your name is not written. That's one of the things that God does when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. When we ask Him to forgive us our sins and accept us, God puts our name down in that book of life. He adopts us as His own children. He gives to us righteousness. He removes from us the sins that we have. God does all these blessings for us. He does that for us. He does that because He loves us. He did it because, and He can do it because of what Christ has done for us. Christ went to that cross and died upon that cross to pay the penalty that we deserve. He rose again for our justification, and because He lives, we can live also. And so it is that gospel message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. That's the good news. There is a way in which man can be restored to fellowship with God. So if you don't know Him, today is that day of salvation. You can trust the Lord right now. You can put your faith in Him. You can pray and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and save your soul. He will do that very thing. He will accept those who call upon His name. He promises that. You shall be saved. Believe the promise of God, and you can be ready for these blessings that we, His people, are looking forward to. And so, as we go through this battle, don't be discouraged, folk. There are times when it does get discouraging. And I know sometimes the battle is wearisome. And sometimes we feel like, and you just want to just lay on the couch and hope the world will go away. But you know, be not weary in well-doing, for there is a harvest that is coming. And we will reap that which we've sown. We will reap that eternal life. So keep on in the service of the Lord. Let's pray.